know.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, we're on the air. We're on the air in Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. If there's any cracking or breaking up into the show, that might be because there's some construction going on next door. Let me get that right. Construction going on next door. So if there's any breakup in the show, if there's any interruptions, I'm very sorry. I'm in advance. But welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're with me. I'm glad you're downloading, archiving, and all that great stuff. Our guest today, my guest today is author Kate Steph. Along in a little bit, hopefully, you know, things happen. Just like they're doing construction next door, things can happen, but hopefully she'll be here. Smart quiz question of the day, what do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution? That's easy. Okay, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. On yesterday's show was kind of quick because I scheduled a show for 15 minutes, 2 hours. So we get what we get. All right, let's see. The Republican debate is tonight. But let me say one thing before I go on to that. As you probably know, I did not win the Powerball. No, it didn't happen, at least not this time, okay? But you got to stay positive, all right? I'm pretty sure some of you out there didn't win it either. So we're all in the same boat. So just sit back and listen to George Wilder, the George Wilder Jr. Show. I did not win the Powerball, but let's move on. Maybe next time, all that money. Man. Well, anyway, the Republican debate is tonight. This is the debate before the last debate. And they've had about 6 or 9 or 10 or something like that. And Democrats just, they don't know how to schedule debates. I mean, they schedule debates on YouTube. They schedule debates on weekends when nobody's watching. I'm telling you right now, we've got to get rid of Debbie Watson Schultz, the DNC chairman. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's going to cause the Democrats to lose the White House because she's not scheduling debates the way that they are. You know, and she's intentionally doing this because she wants Hillary Clinton to win, and it looks like Hillary Clinton is not going to win the nomination because she just lied on Bernie Sanders, lied about his health care initiatives and agenda. And if you saw the video, she even had her daughter Chelsea come out there and just lied, just like she was lying. Lying to America. So a lot of people got wind of this, and they quickly withdrew their support from Hillary Clinton. Now it's all Bernie. It's all Bernie. Everybody's feeling the what? The burn, as they say. All right. GOP, they have their Republicans, conservatives, you know, but some people say GOP, grand old party. They got their knives out. I mean, they're going to be going after each other's throat. The main two people on the stage tonight will be, and I'm going to try and catch the show once the radio, this episode is over. The two main characters, and I say characters, on the stage tonight will be Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz got two marks against him. Not reporting campaign money for a senatorial bid, something to that effect, and not being a natural-born citizen of the United States to run for president. So he's got two marks against him. But you know what? It's going to be interesting. And also the debate is a little less this time. There's two people who are not going to be on the stage, Carly Fiorina and Rand Paul. I actually think Rand Paul had some nice was a little bit more saner than some of the other Republicans. I really did. I think he had made some sense, okay? More so than Mike Huckabee or Chris Christie, or, you know, John Kasich, which I thought did a good job, but I wouldn't vote for it. I wouldn't vote for any of these guys. But they got this Donald Trump. Donald Trump, I'm just hearing that he has doubled his lead, his national lead in the polls, in the presidential poll, in the national poll for the White House in 2016, this year. Doubled. And Bernie Sanders is winning in Iowa, and he's not a couple of points behind in New Hampshire, leading Hillary Clinton. New Hampshire is within the margin of error, but still in awe. With what Hillary Clinton and her family tried to do to Bernie Sanders, is backfiring on her. It's backfiring big time. Big time. I mean, she did, you know what, when she was running against Obama in 2008, she did something similar to this. She felt that she was about to lose. She was losing support. People were running from her in droves. And then she tried to conjure up and say that Barack Obama was bad for America in some way and lying on him in some way about some issue or some policy that he wasn't about. And she's doing the same thing with Bernie Sanders. And everybody is saying, whoa, that's not Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is not that. He's a socialist. He's all for single-payer health care. So I think, and I've said this, that Hillary Clinton, she has really put her foot in it. I mean, I was all out for this woman in case Bernie Sanders did not get the nomination. I was all for her, you know. But now I'm not. I'm not. When she gets desperate, when she falls behind in the polls, people start leaving her in droves. She brings her whole family out. She brings Chelsea. She brings Bill Clinton. And they start attacking, falsely attacking their opponents. She did it with Obama. Now she's doing it with Bernie Sanders. And America sees this. And that's why America is running away from her in droves. She's lying. Totally lying on Bernie Sanders. Lying on this man. And America knows this. And people are saying, why is she doing this? Bernie Sanders is in her own party. Bernie Sanders has said so many nice things about Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders has even built Hillary Clinton up. He gave some of his support to Hillary Clinton. Remember when he was on stage and he said, "The hell with the emails?" Hillary Clinton got support because he said that. And now she turns on him with a big, big lie. And America knows this. America has witnessed this. America has heard this. Video, audio, it's all over the place of her lying about his position on health care. She's done as far as I'm concerned. But let me say this. If Bernie Sanders does not get the nomination, and I hope he does, and Hillary winds up getting it for some reason or other, of course I'm going to have to vote for her, even though she's Wall Street. She's taking money, but she's a Democrat. Anything would be better. There are some people who are saying, I've heard some people who are saying that Hillary Clinton is actually not a Democrat. She's a Republican in disguise because of her lie on Bernie Sanders. Now, I'm saying maybe that's possible, but I don't know. That's hearsay. You know, it could be. It could be. The way she lied on Bernie Sanders. You guys are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we are waiting for author Kate Stephens, or does she pronounce it Stevens? We'll find out, hopefully. And her book, College Quicker. Okay, she should be, I'm guessing around 6:30 maybe. But that's, you know, I mean, hopefully that will happen. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Look me up on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. I've got new books and new material all up on Amazon. If you go there, check that stuff out. Leave a review if you can. If not, you know, check it out anyway. All right, we're going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Republican recruiting, that's going to be something. Can hear the construction. All right. The Republican debate will be, let me see. Oh, wow. Marco Rubio, just four candidates from what I can see here. Four candidates. Marco Rubio, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio. Ben Carson, Donald Trump, and Ted Cruz. And obviously, the focals will be Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. Okay, Donald Trump with a high-energy gesture at the last Republican debate in Las Vegas. Republican presidential hopefuls will square off once more during the Thursday Fox Business debate in South Carolina, where they will have one of their last chances to knock out a rival on live television. Isn't that something? And these guys seem like they do at times want to get physical. Less than 3 weeks before the crucial Iowa vote caucuses. And I just know on the Democratic side of the aisle, I just know Bernie Sanders is going to overtake Hillary Clinton in both Iowa and New Hampshire. And from what I'm hearing, Bernie Sanders is narrowing in on her lead nationally, of course. Okay, back to the Republicans. Only seven candidates made the cut to appear on the main stage in Charleston, Carolina. Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, of course, fat ass, Chris Christie, Donald Trump, John Kasich, and Ben Carson, Lindsey Graham. I thought Lindsey Graham was tossed. They all participated in the last GOP debate, dropped out. Okay, Lindsey Graham dropped out. Okay, all right, he dropped out. And Carlos Fiorina and Rand Paul failed to clear the moderators' polling qualifications, meaning that their polls weren't high enough to be in a debate, meaning not too many people liked them. I can understand Carla Fiorina because woman lies as you look at her. I guess she won't have to be going getting any more Botox or facials or plastic surgery. She won't have the money for that, I guess. But you know what? I think both Rand Paul and Carla Fiorina, they're going to write books. These people are going to go to colleges and universities and dictate their own speaking fees. That's what it's all about. But I do think, I actually think Rand Paul had some really good things to say in the debates. And I'm, you know, kind of sad to see that he's gone, but, you know. And have been regulated to a earlier and smaller debate like with Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum. Now, they should be gone. Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum. Mike Huckabee is... He's not qualified to be president of anything. And the thing about this is party Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, these two guys are not liked. The Republicans cringe at the sound of their names because they don't who the Republicans wanted. They wanted Jeb Bush. This is who they wanted, or Marco Rubio. Ted Cruz has too much negative baggage. Donald Trump is a blowhard. He's revving up the hate and the racist base of his party. Donald Trump, basically, his supporters are made up of white people, angry people, pissed off people. As I've said, racist folks, mean, ornery people who just want the country in their hands. That's it. That's it. So it should be interesting tonight. I'm going to watch debate, or I'm going to watch as much as I can, because I do have a I'm going to be on another radio show tonight. And hopefully you can let me see if once I find out I think it's Janice or something. Oh, is it Jane? Okay, we'll get that for you later. But I will be calling into another radio show tonight. I think it's internet radio. And we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. Okay, back to the Republican debate tonight. Rand Paul, however, is boycotting the event. That's my thing. How can Rand Paul, he's a senator, United States senator, how can Rand Paul boycott an event that they do not want him at? Maybe that's his excuse for not wanting to, maybe that's his excuse for being pissed off for not being invited in the first place. I mean, you can't boycott something that you haven't been invited in the first place. Okay, he's the Kentucky Republican. He objects to Fox Business interest criteria, which relied on national polls that he says unfairly counted him out of the main debate. Indeed, it appears he's making a fair argument. Okay, wow. The senator told CNN earlier this week that he will not participate in anything that's not first tier because we want a first-tier campaign, and we'll rather be holding events in other early nomination states. What he ought to do is just get his ass up out of the Republican Party, because this party has become a party of just pissed-off old men, pissed-off old white men. So, you know, that's what he want to do. Leave the party, because there are a lot of Republicans, and I'm not just talking about the guys in Congress. I'm talking about the base, the Republican base. A lot of people who were a part of that have left the Republican Party because they said it's just too stupid and too crazy for them. So they walked away and said, hey, I'm not a Republican anymore. But most did not just walk out of the Republican Party and then walk over into the Democratic Party. They became independents because they see something, they see flaws in both parties. Okay, unlike the previous Fox Business debate in November, where both candidates and moderators stuck a decidedly civil tone, the gathering on Thursday evening is likely today to be more raunchous affair. Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be Ted Cruz and Donald Trump going at each other's throat. I mean, they're going to be – I'm going to have some clips on the show tomorrow. I'm going to have a bunch of clips, so y'all stay with me, stick with me. We're going to be talking about that because especially Donald Trump. Donald Trump, wherever Donald Trump's, he brings the cameras with him, you know, and most people are going to be focusing on him because he is – my understanding is that – he has doubled his lead in the national polls. There is no way, no how, that this guy will not be the Republican nominee for the president of the United States. No way. There is no way. But will he be president? No, he will not. But he's going to come close. And I've heard something that he's going to pick Sarah Palin to be his running mate. Now, you know he cannot be president after that. That ain't going to happen. We all know what Sarah Palin is about. This is something. I'm looking at Huffington Post here, and they're saying this is going to be something. This is going to be something. I'm pretty sure the debate will start after I get off the radio. If it's 9 o'clock Eastern time, I'm thinking that it's probably 9 o'clock Eastern time. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network. I don't know if it's a network or not. I only got one radio show. Maybe I'm bringing in my writing ability. Who knows? My writing ability in there. And check me out on Facebook. Check me. I'm all over the place, you know, so, and it's fun. It's fun. I'm having a great time. I really am having a super duper time, and I love my radio show. I love the guests. Speaking of guests, author Kate Steffens and her book, College Quicker. My understanding is that it's going to be about student debt, and there is nothing better to talk about in this country than student debt. I mean, I live in an area where I have about three or four universities surrounding me, and I see students all the time. And every time I see a student, I'm thinking about, you know, how much debt person is in, probably. You know, and Kate Steffens is probably going to more likely give us some ideas of how to be debt-free during and after college. So we're going to stay focused on that. And also in Chicago, as you would probably know, as you probably heard of, there has been another video dump of a police shooting in Chicago, on Chicago streets, another video dumping tape that a judge had to pry away from the city, Mary Emanuel. And this videotape, if you haven't seen it, see it. It's all over the internet. It's all over the web. It's all over the TV. It shows another young man, African-American, running away from the cops, and they shoot him in the back. And it just, you know, I mean, you see this on the tape. The police are saying that he threatened them. He was charging at them. He was running at them. They were in fear for their lives. How can you be in fear for your life when somebody, the perpetrator, is running away from you and you shoot him down? Well, there's more things happening. We didn't see what happened at the very beginning of the tape. It's very grainy and all. It's not that grainy where we can't see that the police officer pulls the trigger and shoots this guy. This young man was running like, I mean, he was running like he was Flash. He was running his ass off. He was running from the police, and the police shot him. They said they shot him because he had a gun. But after they shot him, the young man was on the ground. They discovered he did not have a gun. The only thing he had was a cell phone box. So this is another police lie. This is another cover-up. And Anita Alvarez, the state's attorney, she did not charge the cop in this case. This is another case where she did not charge. This is another case that it took her a year or so to charge or not charge at all. I'm thinking not charge at all. So this is another black eye for the city. This is another black eye for Mayor Rahm Emanuel. This is another black eye for state's attorney Anita Alvarez. And as I speak, Anita Alvarez has an opponent running against her for her job in March. She will be voted out of office. People have been trying to get her to resign because of her incompetence, but she's going to be voted out. She says she's not going to resign. She's going to be voted out. It doesn't matter whether she resigns or she's voted out as long as she leaves, because she's totally, totally incompetent on this. She's totally incompetent. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're waiting for author Kate Steffens and her book, College Quicker. Okay, we will be right back. I'm going to and we're going to talk about some more police brutality and crime in Chicago. It's just ridiculous. All right, right back. Stay with me. No commercials. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right, we are back. We are back. We are back. And I wanted to emphasize again that a judge ordered the release of the dump of this video. It was a judge. It always has to be a judge. The city just cannot never. I mean, Rahm Emanuel talked about transparency. He talked about transparency, but yet he's trying to cover these things up. He's trying to cover them up. And now the police department, the police out on the street in Chicago, they're afraid to stop people on the street. They are afraid, because what are they afraid of? They're afraid of a lawsuit. Or something like that. I mean, if you're afraid to do your job, if you're a police officer and you're afraid to do your job, quit. Quit. Because your job is to serve and protect. If you're not if you're doing your job, you're clocking in, you're doing your job, do your job. If you don't want to do your job, quit and give it to someone else who and more competent and more enthusiastic about being a police officer in the city of Chicago and serving and protecting. You don't want to do it, don't quit. You know, the police officers in Chicago, they are on edge. They are on edge. I mean, these dumping of these videotapes of these black kids getting gunned down in the back while running away from the police officers is taking its toll on the police department. And it should. And Mary Emanuel should resign. I mean, this guy's just, he's incompetent. He's covering up these videos because it will make him look bad. So he doesn't want to do that. But we're finding these things out. We are finding these things out. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio, broadcasting straight up out of Chicago. And, well, today is not as cold as it was yesterday. Yesterday, we were freezing our asses off. I mean, we were freezing our asses off, toes, fingers, and everything. But it's nice today. And they say in the coming days, the bottom is going to fall out once again. So get ready for that. Only thing I can say to people, stay warm. Especially if you're in a cold climate like I am, Chicago, Illinois, stay warm. And all right, here we go. Yeah, you're on the air with George Wilder Jr. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi, George. My name is Kate Stevens.
I know it. I got you right here.
Hey.
It's great to talk to you. Okay, let me introduce you to my audience, okay?
Sounds good.
All righty. Let's see. Kate Steffens, her book, College Quicker. Kate Steffens graduated from Summa Cum Laude from Northwest University. However, unlike many college students, today she left her own alma mater with zero debt. That's got to be something, Kate.
Oh, thanks.
Huh?
Oh, thanks.
I'm sure
yeah,
many college
was,
students would like to hear that, how they can do that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, so I actually, when I was like most high school students nowadays, I wasn't sure how I was going to pay for college, and I thought, okay, what are my options out there? And one of them was trying to apply for financial aid through the government. I tried that and unfortunately wasn't able to get any money from them except for loans. I looked into scholarships, didn't really get anything through there as far as community scholarships. And I thought, what's another way that I can reduce my college costs? And I was sitting in the registrar's office at my college, and the transcript analyst mentioned, hey, maybe you could graduate a semester early. You have some credits that you've earned in high school. And it was like a light bulb went off in my head. Like, what if I start to earn credits cheaper and faster through these different options and graduate early? And so kind of as you said, I was able to graduate 2 years early from college and save over $60,000.
Wow. Do you think just the average college student could do something like that with your with your method and your book? Can you explain some of the things that's in your books?
Yes. Yeah, so I give 24 different practical ways that students can graduate early. So they can pick and choose depending on what type of student they are, where they are in their educational career. One that I suggest, so I have lots of options, but one of my favorite is something called CLEP exams, and they're spelled C-L-E-P. CLEP exams are offered by the same people that offer the SATs and the AP exams, though. Most students are familiar with them. They're really great. All you do is you show up to a testing center, spend $80 plus a small administration fee, around $10 to $20, and take one exam. And by taking that exam, whether it be, you know, there's different topics. You can take one on math or English or et cetera. And after that 90-minute exam, you can potentially earn between 3 and 12 credits of college. And so essentially in the course of, you know, a couple hours and some studying beforehand, you can get an entire class out of the way and only for around $100.
Oh, okay. Sounds great. In general, why do you think college costs are going through the roof?
I mean, there's kind of multiple reasons. I mean, it's been on a trajectory mm-hmm. for a while, but I think it's something that, you know, the faculty is getting more expensive, especially with tenure, and you're having to provide for them to do research. So you have to pay people well enough, and they have to also get their degrees pretty higher up. So, you need, you know, the faculty is pretty expensive to pay. You're talking about, you know, expensive campuses and the grounds, the property. And then also just how kind of things are going as far as, like, it just kind of keeps going. I think I looked at something recently, and it's like 2 or 3 times inflation is how expensive college is. So it's nuts.
You don't think somebody is probably bankrolling this money?
Oh, I hope not.
I mean, I've heard all kinds of things like that. The deans are bankrolling, and I mean, you had people getting outrageous severance packages to resign. You know, I've heard a lot of these things, and the college costs are going through the roof. But the administration, I mean, these guys are getting paid really, really good, you know, and a lot of kids can't mm-hmm. afford to go to the colleges because of this. And I think, do you feel that state budgets have something to do with college loans, the hike in tuitions?
Well, I mean, of course, if a state is tight on their budget, which, you know, many states are, then the cost of tuition is going to be more expensive at a local school, at a public school, since they're not able to subsidize the cost as much. The state isn't. I know that so I live in Washington. I'm from Chicago, uh-huh. so it's kind of funny that your station's there. But we have UW, which is the University of Washington. And several years ago, I mean, there were only a couple thousand a year. And now we're talking about 10 to 15,000. And unfortunately, yeah. with public schools especially, you're not usually getting the institutional aid, the scholarships through the school. And so most of the time students are really paying 10 to 15, which, you know, comparatively compared to a private school, you know, much less, but it's
yeah.
still
yeah.
out of reach for many students. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and your book, College Quicker, is going to help people to save money going to college. And,
yeah.
Yeah, do you have an excerpt? Can you read an excerpt to the audience?
Oh, well, I mean, I kind of thought I could. I think one of the things about my book is it's definitely more of a step-by-step
format.
Well, it just might be, it might somewhat bore listeners in some of the areas in the way that
I mean, people, anytime.
No, it's an informational book. And so it's really what it is a student goes into the book. The first, the first section, the first introduction is my life story. It's a couple pages, but really
okay.
then you get into the meat of the book. So the first chapter is on kind of what will kind of set you up to be able to graduate early? What are the best schools to go to in order to do that?
Uh-huh.
And kind of how to be on a good success plan. And the rest of the book are all chapters. It's not a book that you read from cover to cover. It's a book you pick and choose where you want to read in the book. And it's a really great, like, step-by-step, like, okay. And it's literally, like, step number one, step number two, and what are the
mm-hmm.
benefits of doing that particular, I call them fast-track opportunities.
Okay.
And so students can pick and choose. I'll be happy to read, but it might feel like your listeners might be a little lost as far as what I'm reading.
No,
so.
my listeners are smart. Come on.
Oh, well, if you want me to grab a section, I'm sorry, I wasn't, did you want me to actually read a piece from it then?
Yeah, go ahead and, I mean, maybe a paragraph
okay.
or some whatever you.
Okay, let me grab
right.
my book from the bookshelf. So I guess I'll just kind of start from the beginning. I think if I jumped in, it might seem a little bit strange, but I guess I can read a paragraph or two. This isn't like a
yeah,
fiction
yeah,
book, which
no,
might be a little more
deal.
Interesting.
Just give us a little nugget or something, you know.
okay.
okay.
So this is my introduction. So life. During childhood, I played this game incessantly. I delighted in the virtually endless combinations. I could work as a doctor, a lawyer, or an accountant, live in a mansion, log cabin, or Tudor style, and drive a purple, yellow, or green car. But while I often chose different occupations, residencies, and automobiles, I almost always selected the college before career path. Even as young as 5, I understood the value of a bachelor's degree. You'd have more career options and could earn more money. So without much thought, I asked the banker for $100,000 in loan slips to cover my education costs. Even with the interest, I would accumulate enough to settle my debt after a couple paydays. Although this decision was easy in the game, it was much harder in the real world. As I grew older, I discovered the truth about the price of college. It didn't cost one or two paydays. It cost 10 years of barely scraping by. Not wanting this life, I decided to create my own path. I would still graduate with a college diploma, but without student loans. Obviously, this was easier said than done. I didn't have an education savings account, a 529 plan, or a trust fund, just a few $100 at a local bank. Nearly broke, I would need to roll up my sleeves and bring the money myself. So I'll kind of jump ahead because it gets a little more nitty-gritty. And then I'll jump to the actual part of kind of where I discovered the better way. But at this point, I wanted to throw in the towel, wave the white flag. Maybe my goal wasn't achievable. Just when I was ready to surrender, I remembered a line from a late-night infomercial. There's got to be a better way. Cliche as it might sound, the TV host was right. I had tried the traditional routes, government aid, private scholarships, and part-time work, and they left me tired and tapped out. I needed an alternative. I racked my brain but came up with nothing. What was this better way? Unbeknownst to me, the answer sat right under my nose. During high school, I participated in a summer scholars program and a dual enrollment program. I desire college academics as well as college experiences. In addition to fulfilling both of these wants, the programs also helped me earn almost a semester of college credit. But since I was too focused on winning essay scholarships and working extra shifts my senior year, I forgot about this perk. However, I was quickly reminded during a visit to the registrar's office at my university. After looking over my college transcripts from high school programs, the transcript analyst made an astute observation. Because of my previously earned credit, I could possibly graduate early. I guess I'll leave it at that note.
Sounds good. Sounds great. It sounds interesting because, you know what, I have a 16-year-old son, and he's a great kid, and I'm always trying to look for great colleges for him. I mean, we're not rich. Of course, we didn't win the Powerball tonight, so so I'm always looking for great colleges for him. Would you say that's a good book for him to read to find out, you know, especially on paying tuition and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not necessarily a book if you're looking as far as what type of college, but it's a great book if you're looking for ways to save money when you actually select a college, or even one in high
money.
School. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the book is
so
it's kind of
be
for
a good
everyone.
Book. Okay, so it seems like it's a book for parents, basically.
Well,
because if you have a child that's going to...
It's actually written
Pardon?
In a format for younger students. So it's written toward a younger audience. So there are fun parts to it to keep it a student entertained. And it's really a practical book so that a student can take it and follow the steps one by one. I mean, it's a great book that parents can buy and give to their kids. And it starts all the way up from a student can start as early as, you know, eighth grade, ninth grade, and go all the way through college and still use the book. So.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And where can I or where can we find the book?
Yeah, it's offered. You can buy it. It's in every Barnes & Noble store, so you can go to your local Barnes & Noble and pick it up. It's on Amazon, Walmart, Target.com, all of those. And if you want more information just about myself or the book, you can go to collegequicker.net or like me on Facebook, College Quicker page, or Twitter, you can follow me, college_quicker.
Okay, I'm on Facebook also, so.
Oh, that's
but you
awesome.
Know what, that sounds...
then we need to connect.
It sounds like a great book, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be totally useful. I'm going to get all my listeners to try and pick the book up, especially if they have a kid going to school or if they know of someone who want to try to lessen their debt, you know, because education is very, very expensive. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. Is. Exactly. It's just for those people.
All right. Kate Steffens and her book, College Quicker, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Kate, before we go, would you like to say something about the book or yourself before we go? Would you like to say something that you may have not said?
I mean, you've definitely seemed to cover it, but I mean, I graduated in 2 years without debt, and mm-hmm. so your listeners can too. So pick up a copy of the book and find out how.
Hey, great, 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 great. Hey, do you have a website?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, I said that in the last one, but I know. No, okay. It's okay. I said it fast. collegequicker.net.
Okay, because the reason why I asked you again is because I want this show would be taped, archived, and recorded. I can always send you a copy of the show where you can put it into your website or your blog. You can have your friends, your fans come by and listen to you on this show as you trying to get the word out about your book.
Oh, great. Yeah, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
No problem. As soon as the show is recorded and downloaded and solid into my mind, I will email you and let you know and give it to you. All right. Thanks for being on the show.
Sounds good. Thank you so
Bye-bye.
Much, George. Bye-bye.
All right. That was author Kate Steffens and her book, College Quicker, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will take a break right now. I will be right back. That was fun. That was fun. Okay.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. Back, and I was just saying that I did not win the Powerball, and probably next time. All right, okay, author. Yeah, I will be, as I was telling Kate, calling in, as I was telling you, I will be calling in Janice Mavis into her radio show as soon as I get off here, just to say hi, probably. Hi. Just to say hi. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I would like to thank my guest, author Kate Steffens, for her book, College Quicker. And I hope you guys out there, if you have someone you know who's trying to cut their college debt, this book would be for them, College Quicker. I'm going to download it because I'm going to try and get my son on the show. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. You know, my parents are such huge fans of you and your show, sir.
That's wonderful. That's nice to hear.
Absolutely. You know, they're an interracial couple, and they really enjoy your message of acceptance and just the way you carry yourself on the air. It means a lot to them.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice to hear.
Is there any way I could put them on the air so you could speak with them?
Sure, why not?
Hello?
Sure.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. No problem.
Okay, let me just transfer them through. Okay.
I know this. I want to keep you happy.
Oh, hang on. They can't hear us. Mom, Dad, we're on the phone.
Thank you, my lovely wife.
They can't hear us. They're a bit hard of hearing. Mom, Dad, can you say hello to them maybe, George?
Hello, 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 hello.
What was that? Is someone on the phone? Who is that?
Yeah, Mom. I transferred them to us. They can't hear.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I appreciate the call.
I'll patch them through. Hang on, no problem.
I never had an Asian until you. That's why I married you.
Really?
Oh, Les. Put some duck sauce on the rim of my asshole and eat it.
All right. Sometimes we get them. Sometimes we get them, you know. Sometimes we get them. All right. This is, like I was saying something earlier about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton and her daughter. Well, sometimes we get assholes calling into the show. That happens. I mean, it happens, so you have to delete them. Let me see. All right. We're going to take a break right here, and it's just a short break. I will be back. Thank you.
All right, this is the Ed Show.
Every now and then, there are times when you get a head shaker from the candidates. You wonder, what's that all about? You wonder, that can't be true. And then you go fact check it because you're curious, because you want to make sure what you're hearing is correct. For months, I think people have been wondering, okay, what kind of campaign is Sanders going to be able to run against the Clinton machine? And I don't think anyone months ago thought that Hillary Clinton would be responding to what Bernie Sanders wants to do with a huge issue in his life and his one of his benchmark issues, and that is, of all things, health care. He's been a Medicare for All campaigner for decades. But Hillary Clinton said something in Iowa the other day and threw in the right-wing governor's name, Terry Branstad, who progressives hate in Iowa. He's as righty as they come. And Hillary Clinton threw Branstad into the equation via health care. And this is as strange as it gets. Here it is.
He wants to roll Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, Affordable Care Act program, private health insurance into a national system, and then turn it over to the states to administer.
Liar.
Now, if that's the kind of revolution he's talking about, I am worried, folks.
Yeah, you worried about your poll numbers.
To my knowledge, in the Sanders campaign has come out and said, basically, Hillary, are you off your rocker? That's just not even anywhere near being true. But it doesn't stop there. Listen to Chelsea Clinton in New Hampshire.
Senator Sanders wants to dismantle Obamacare, dismantle the CHIP program, dismantle Medicare, dismantle private insurance. Now, the Republicans in Congress have voted against the Affordable Care Act 55 times, right? Yeah. Not because they want to replace it with something, because they want to get rid of it. So I worry that if we give Republicans Democratic permission to do that, we'll go back to an era before we had the Affordable Care Act that will strip millions and millions and millions of people of their health insurance.
I can't believe this. Chelsea Clinton is programmed, and she's programmed with false information, and now she is aligning Bernie Sanders with Republicans when it comes to health care? I tell you what, If I was really anti-Hillary Clinton, I have enough material to unleash a verbal attack that's unparalleled to anything I've ever done in my career. I'm stunned by that. The Sanders camp will take care of the truth. I'm stunned by that. And to be fair, you know, it was Hillary Clinton who was in the Sanders position back in 2008. Don't you remember this sound cut on the campaign trail?
Since Democrats attack one another on universal health care? I thought we were trying to realize Harry Truman's dream. I thought this campaign finally gave us an opportunity to put together a coalition to achieve universal health care. Let's have a real campaign. Yeah. Enough with the speeches and the big rallies and then using tactics that are right out of Karl Rove's playbook. This is wrong, and every Democrat should be outraged.
I remember
because
that.
This is
I
the
totally
kind of attack that not only undermines core democratic values, but gives aid and comfort to the very
Barack
special
Obama
interests and their allies in the Republican Party who are against doing what we want to do for America. So shame on you, Barack Obama.
Wow.
A shame moment. I'll tell you what. If you're a true progressive and a good lefty over the years, and you have followed the agenda of the Democratic Party, even back in 2008 in Denver, when they put universal health care as a party platform, I don't think those three sound bites really need a whole lot of commentary. You can figure it out.
Wow, Hillary Clinton is a fireball. I mean, that was 2008. The latter part of that clip was her jumping on Barack Obama in 2008. Now she's doing the same thing with Bernie Sanders. Like I said at the beginning of the show, whenever Hillary Clinton gets behind in the polls, she's running for something. She brings her husband out, she brings her daughter out, and they just get pissed off and mad and angry and start leveling lies all over the place. This is why I say she's through. She is through in the Democratic for president. She's done. She's totally done. All right, you're on the George Waddle Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, sir. I really wanted to apologize for that last call. It was not intended as
All right. She really, 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 really outdid herself. I think she overdid herself. I really, truly do think she overdid herself. She was like, she's not going to win this. Bernie is going to win this. Bernie is going to win this. Okay, I'm looking at something else. Let's move right along. I'll be in and out, in and out. Like I said before, I want to thank my guest, Kate Steffens, and her book. She was wonderful, beautiful. I've seen a wonderful and beautiful person who's trying to do something about the high cost of college. And I think it's a book for parents. I think it's a book for students who are going to college. You know, I think it's a great thing. And hopefully she'll be back on the show and talk about that a little bit more in the future, in the future, in the future. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here, Facebook, all over the place. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com. Leave me a review for whatever book or ebook you want to read there. It's all good and everything. Right now I'm thinking about the latest shooting. I'm thinking about the dump of the latest video, not the Laquan video, the dump of the latest video. I don't have all the details yet, but I'm going to get them because I'm going to talk about them tomorrow on the show. I don't have all the details, but this is bad. It's bad. This is the third or fourth or fifth video that I personally have seen, witnessed, and viewed a cop shooting a young black person as this person is running away from them, away from them. And it's a shame that some of these cops falsify their police reports live when they go to court. The police department in Chicago needs to be ripped apart and built all over again. Ripped apart and built all over again. Some people are constantly saying, well, there's good policemen on the force. There's great police officers on the force. I don't think that way anymore. Not in Chicago. I think there are some good officers on the force, but there's very, very little. I think 75% of the officers on the police force in Chicago are bad. And I also feel that if a good cop does not turn in a bad cop, or if a good cop knows that there is a bad cop on the force, if that good cop do not say anything about that bad cop, then that good cop becomes a bad cop in my eyes. That's the way I feel about it. That is the way I feel about it. All right, we're going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Okay, if we can find a clip. Let's see, can we get a clip here? All righty, here we go. I'll be right back. Stay with me, folks.
Second weekend in July, and the trauma unit at Advocate Christ Medical Center on the outskirts of Chicago is bracing itself for the worst.
Christ, what's going on?
Hi, this is San Fran.
In Chicago, trauma tends to get busier in the summer months. We've had a stretch of some warm weather.
In what proved to be bloody days in the city, 82 people were shot in Chicago on the July 4th weekend, 16 of them fatally.
Possibly our busiest weekend ever.
And more than two dozen of those victims were brought here to Advocate Christ, which served the city's south side.
A lot of gunshot wounds and a decent number of fatalities as well.
A week later, the pace on a Friday night is slower, but soon after 11 p.m., a call comes in. Ambulances with two gunshot victims are on their way from the city's Roseland neighborhood. The first of the victims arrives, a male with a bullet wound through his shoulder.
Gentleman came in with a gunshot wound, but it was just to the right shoulder, and there's no significant injury.
The medical team treats the wound, but soon rushes to prepare for the second victim, who did not fare as well.
George, can you help me here or there?
He's got a gunshot wound to the right chest.
I'm going to get another IV.
Most of the victims are younger patients. They're usually male, who are of lower socioeconomic status.
You got an 18 gauge.
And it represents the neighborhoods where the violence is taking place.
This 26-year-old man has internal bleeding that is making it hard to breathe.
He had gotten shot in the chest.
What's your name? Tell me your name.
And he had diminished breath sounds on the right side of his chest.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
You know, 90% of homicide victims are men.
No.
95% of perpetrators are men, and that is even more skewed in Chicago. And it vastly discriminates against people of color, particularly African Americans and Latinos.
It's caused a contusion of the lung, which is a bruising of the lung. There's also some blood in the chest.
So move your eye move.
A surgeon prepares to place a tube in the man's chest to drain the blood.
It is a sort of a basic resuscitation maneuver in terms of patients who have penetrating chest trauma. Place the tube in the chest cavity to drain the blood or to drain the air that's collected around the lung. one of the few times that a fairly simple bedside procedure can actually save a patient's life.
These life-saving maneuvers happen nightly in emergency rooms across the country as gun violence haunts America's cities.
In the last 30 years, about 1 million people have died from guns, and that's homicides, suicides, domestic violence, and accidents.
More than 30,000 people die from guns every year in the United States. Chicago is plagued by a gun homicide rate much higher than New York or Los Angeles, which have shown sizable decreases in gun deaths. Still, homicides from guns are half of what they were here more than a decade ago.
The decrease in homicides in the United States has been, in many areas, a tremendous public health victory. So Los Angeles, or let's say New York City, in the early 90s, 2,000 homicides per year.
Last year, homicides in New York were down to 355.
And while there has been a decrease in Chicago, it has not at all been as dramatic.
In some ways, it's getting better, but I think that there are neighborhoods and communities and generations of people that are not getting the kind of positive supports that are necessary to really turn the tide.
New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago basically have about the same murder rate for murder by other than gunshot. So that's fascinating if you think about it, because everybody wants to know what's different about Chicago. First thing I said when I got here, too many guns, the proliferation of firearms.
In the past, most of our penetrating trauma was coming from the south side of the city of Chicago and some of the more violent neighborhoods, but now we're actually seeing quite a few coming in from the suburbs.
Though gun deaths are lower in the city so far this year, as they are nationwide, police figures show shootings are up. Chief of Trauma Surgery, Dr. James Daugherty, says he's noticing a disturbing trend.
We're seeing more patients who have multiple gunshot wounds, and I think what we're seeing is that the severity of the injuries that we're seeing are much worse. Are they all gang-related? The answer to that is no. Not all the cases are gang-related. Many of the
All right, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that little tape. It's on violence in the city of Chicago, and there is violence here. I mean, you can't deny it. You can't walk away from it. You just have to admit it. I think by admitting it and not being in denial will help to try to quell some of this senselessness around here. It really is senseless. And that's all you can say. Sometimes my heart weeps. Sometimes I get very, very emotional on the violence that's not only in Chicago, but everywhere, all around the United States, the world. It's a mess, and it's a shame that we don't have caring, responsible politicians, leaders. It's a shame we don't have that. And we don't have those things, and not yet anyway. Okay, everybody's focusing on the debate tonight, the Republican debate tonight. I'm not focusing on it, but I will report on it. I won't be on the show tomorrow. I said tomorrow. After tonight, I will not be back until Monday. I'll be doing some writing on the weekend. So that's where I do my writing. And I love to write. I think it's great. And I love having authors on the show because no author is the same. All authors are different. And they have their own perspective and their own way of trying to tell us about how they come to the conclusions that they come when they are finally done with their writings. All right. Donald Trump says that most of us saw Obama's speech, his last speech. They say his last speech. Then he could do another one. Obama can do another speech tomorrow if he wanted to. It doesn't have to be, but his last State of the Union speech, of course. And obviously, Donald Trump watched the speech, was a few days ago. And Donald Trump said the speech was boring. One thing Obama is not when he's bored, when he's giving a speech, he's not boring. One thing he's not. Donald Trump is boring because most of the time Donald Trump is not going to talk about anything. The Republicans are not going to talk about anything. like I said, the debate as I speak on this day is tonight. You'll never hear the Republicans talking about civil rights. You'll never hear them talking about gun rights. You will not hear them talk tonight about Social Security, the economy, energy. Don't even think about gun control. The American dream, the environment, the health care, jobs, women's rights. You will not hear that discussed. I haven't even seen a debate. I haven't even heard about a pre-debate or anything. I don't even know what they're going to say and what they're not going to say, but I do know that they're not going to say anything about the issues that I just got through naming. The Republican platform is not about civil rights, women's rights, jobs, health care, civil rights, gay rights, Social Security, energy, gun control, American dream, environment. These are all the things that they want to destroy. Voting rights. These are all the things that they want to destroy or lessen. The Republican Party is so different from the Republicans of 30 and 40 years ago, even 20. These guys are a bunch of old, racist, hateful, ornery, heartless, old kooks. But they have the power, they have the money, and the majority of the Republicans in Congress, like some Democrats, are bought and paid for. Totally bought and paid for. Jeb Bush bought and paid for. Donald Trump will be the only one on that stage, and I like him for this, that isn't a puppet to the lobbyist, not a puppet to the NRA, or to the big bankers or the corporations like the rest of these guys are. But I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. I don't think he's right. I don't think he's presidential material, actually. But on the Democratic side of the aisle, I don't think after this latest debacle with Hillary Clinton and her daughter and her husband trying to smear Bernie Sanders, trying to knock him off his pedestal because he's easing up in the polls or leading her in the polls, is just wrong. Bernie would have never did that to her. Bernie would have never lied on Hillary Clinton the way she has lied on him. He would have never have done that. That was unthinkable to Bernie. And I'm pretty sure when Bernie found out that Hillary Clinton distorted his health care policy, I'm pretty sure he was surprised. I mean, he probably did not believe it at first, until he saw the tapes, until he saw the videos. I didn't believe it until I saw it. I said, no, Hillary, this is the same thing. If you heard the tape, if you heard the clip earlier that I played, this is the same thing she tried to do to Obama in 2008. Clinton came out, her husband, Bill Clinton, came out and lied on camera on Barack Obama because Obama was leading. And that's the thing with the Clinton. I mean, if they're running for something and they feel that they're going to lose, they're going to bring out the lies. The lies. So the George Wilder Jr. show is saying to everybody out there within earshot, vote, vote, vote. Vote for Bernie Sanders. You are not alone. You will be in good company. You will be in good company. Bernie Sanders. I mean, Hillary, there's no doubt Hillary has tarnished her star, if she ever had a star to begin with. Okay, they're saying here the Academy Awards proves that Oscars are only for white people. Yeah, I was reading that and hearing that the Academy Awards, I think they begin in February. No black people were picked. None. They were overlooked or they were just purposely not chosen for an Oscar. What else is new? America is racist. What else is new? You know, it's not. The 2016 Academy Award nominations rolled out Thursday morning and highlighted a roster of acting categories that made up of entirely white performers, white actors and white actresses. What else is new? Martin Luther King still has some work to do. We as black people have work to do. And it's saying here that that should bother everyone. It does bother me. It does bother you. The lack of diversity among Oscar nods has sadly become tradition, and things don't seem to be getting any better, Oscar nods. In fact, they're getting worse. Of course they are. Okay, following last year's footsteps, not a single actor of color is up for an award in this year, 2016. Only films featuring a cast with people of color are nominated this year are Straight Outta Compton, Best Screenplay, What Happened, Miss Simone for Best Documentary, and Creed for Best Supporting Actor, Sylvester Stallone. But for these films, only their white contributors were recognized. I mean, what else is new? Hollywood is racist. Will Smith, I mean, his movie is Concussion. Everyone is saying he was going to get an Oscar for that. Apparently, the award ceremonies didn't think so. The people who run that Oscar ceremony didn't think so. Leonardo DiCaprio, he's up. He's up. I'm pretty sure he's going to win The Revenant, if I can pronounce it. He's going to win Best Actor. The movie is also up for Best Director. So Samuel L. Jackson in The Hateful Eight, Michael B. Jordan, and Ryan Coogler for Creed, all of whom have been heavily praised for their performances this year, but they will not be on the Oscar stage. Straight Outta Compton. I never saw the movie. I never saw the movie. I've heard a lot about it. Creed, I haven't seen Creed. Usually, I mean, maybe I'm old-fashioned. Usually I'll wait until a movie comes out on DVD before I see it. I like to watch movies in the comfort of my own home. I really do. I like to watch movies in the comfort of my instead of, you know, I love going to the theater because I like the giant screen. But more so, I like my privacy. And I've gone to movies many, many years in my life, and I'm getting kind of a way where I do not want to be around crowds, you know. So every now and then I'll go to a movie, and my son and I'll go out to a movie, but I prefer my own company, so therefore I will probably stay in and watch a movie in the comfort of my own home with my own family than to be out in a crowded theater, Let me tell you this story. I think I've told it before, but I'm going to tell it again. Once, I think it was the Avengers, the first Avenger movie. I was just so hyped and just so thrilled to just go see my favorite comic book characters, Iron Man, the Hulk. I mean, so we went to a neighborhood theater that was hosting the Avengers, the first Avengers, and a few more movies. But we wanted to see the Avengers. I mean, on the big screen. I didn't want to see it on the small screen, so we wanted to see it on a great big screen. So we got there in time for the movie to start. So the movie was crowded, and people were still barreling into the movie, and the movie was crowded. So the movie was, it was wall-to-wall people wanting to see the movie. Majority of the people were just, you know, teenagers and children and who wanted to see, the superheroes. And I did, because I'm a thick kid, an old kid in general. And I just love seeing superheroes. My favorite is actually Iron Man. Okay, not Superman, not Batman, but Iron Man. So I wanted to see the Avengers. So I was in my seat. It was crowded. It was packed like a sardine can. But I was in the theater. Me and my son, we were in the theater. And so my son was sitting on one side, and this woman was sitting on the other side of me. And if I wanted to get up and leave and change my seat, go to some other area of the theater, I couldn't do that. It was just that crowded. She started snoring. She was snoring her ass off. So I did manage to move. And when I did move, I moved someplace where the ladies in the back of me, they were on their cell phones. So I had a real, real awful time. This is George Waddle Jr. of the George Waddle Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, talking about my experience at the movies, seeing the Avengers. So it was twice in one night. It was twice in one night. She was snoring her ass off. I mean, she was loud. I mean, she was sleeping, sitting right beside me while I'm trying to watch the movie, snoring her butt off. And I'm looking around for an usher or something. Somebody come and get this lady out of here. I can't concentrate and watch the movie. I can't enjoy the movie. This lady is sitting right here snoring her ass off while I'm so I get up and move. There's no space. There's no room in the theater. I get up and move, but I luckily find another empty seat. So I sit down, okay? And it's these three ladies directly in back of me, on their damn cell phones, talking loud and, you know, sounding like they're sounding so uneducated. I was pissed again. But this time I was stuck. I couldn't move because there was nowhere else to go. If I was going to go anywhere, it would have been out the theater. You know, and so I learned from that. I said, I don't want to be in this predicament again. But I have found myself to have, since then I have gone back to the theater, but I just haven't had that experience again, but who knows. But I guess generally what I'm saying, I do like to watch movies in the comfort of my own home. That's just me. That's the way I am. You could be different. But anyway, you're listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show, broadcasting on Block Talk Radio. Sometimes you get crazy people. Okay, the smart quiz question. What do we call the first 10 commandments of the Constitution? Does anybody know? We call them the Bill of Rights. I'm going to try to get the smart quiz questions in here. And because I find out that the smart quiz questions, they're a lot of fun. They are a lot of fun. Hope you're having fun too. Thy loving peace. right. This is George Wilder Jr. This is George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And the Republican debate is tonight. It's tonight. It's going to be something to talk about. Believe me. Believe me, it's going to be something to talk about. As of tonight, I won't be back on the air until Monday, January 18th, 2016. Hope to find you here. I'm going to take a few days off. I take off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because those are the days I do my writing. And it's always fun. It's always fun. Someone just said 90 seconds into my earphones, my headset, actually. So we got about 80 seconds, 90 seconds or something or other. And but it's fun. The show is fun, and my guests are fun. I want to thank my guests once again, author Kate Steffens and her book. If you want to, I mean, if you got a kid or something going to college and you want to save money on college, this is the book you should get. I mean, she describes everything in the book. I haven't got the book. I haven't seen it. But I take a word for it. All right. So this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Join me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. Join me right here. Follow me right here. Follow me all over the place. And we're just about off the air. And I, like I said before, I will be back on Monday. I'm on the air Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 6 to 7:30 or 6 to 8 o'clock, 2 hours maybe. It depends on how things go. But I will be on the air. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for archiving the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends, your buddies, your family this show. Thank you for loving this show. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody. See you soon.